Peter Weir's latest film is a big-budget adaptation of Patrick O'Brien's hugely popular 19th-century naval adventure series. Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, stars Russell Crowe as Captain Jack Aubrey and Paul Bettany as his friend and sometimes foil. David Edelstein has this review.
The mood could hardly be more right for Peter Weir's Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. It's a warship saga. It's rousing, it's beautifully crafted, and it dispenses with so many of those modern pesky questions about ulterior motives and civil liberties and recalcitrant indigenous populations. Oh, to be in England when the seas were high and the enemy was the plundering French. It's 1803 on the HMS Surprise, and Captain Jack Aubrey, played by a manly Russell Crowe, is awakened by an officer who might have glimpsed a fearsome French frigate through a fog bank. Before we see Crowe's face, we see his boots, his epaulets, his belt buckle being snapped. Then he strides onto the deck and peers into the fog, as stalwart a captain as any in Christendom, and his crew knows it too, every man Jack. We see the flash of a distant cannon before we hear the sound, and Aubrey yells down as the ball rips through the mizzenmast. He says, "Lay me alongside at pistol range," and "Hold steady, boys, courage now." And I tell you I was with him. And I dare say so will you be, every man Jack, and woman Jack, and little kid Jack. Weir has loosely adapted the 10th book of the 20-part adventure series by the late Patrick O'Brien, which friends of mine have been rhapsodizing over for the last decade. At their prodding, I managed to get through the first volume and portions of another, but all I seem to remember are whole pages about knots. And with my landlubber's impatience, I had a hard time keeping hold of the narrative. But God's my life, I enjoyed that 19th-century seafaring patois. And so must have Peter Weir. He and his co-screenwriter, John Colley, have kept O'Brien's relish for antiquated English naval talk and his positive fetish for nautical bric-a-brac. But the storytelling is now lean and shapely. It hooks you from opening salvo to closing punchline. That salvo came from a newfangled French supership called the Acheron, and the whole of Master and Commander consists of Aubrey's surprise alternately running away from the thing or chasing it around Cape Horn to keep it from sinking more of His Majesty's ships. Captain Aubrey, nicknamed Lucky Jack, is both lost in admiration for the phantom French captain and nettled by the way in which the surprise is being constantly surprised. He says he'll go to the ends of the earth to stop the Acheron, and the lone check on his authority is his pal, the ship's doctor, Stephen Maturin, played by the charismatic English actor Paul Bettany, who was Crowe's imaginary friend in A Beautiful Mind, but here functions as a voice of humanist realism.
As a friend, I would say that I have never once doubted your abilities as a captain.
Speak plainly.
Perhaps we should have turned back weeks ago. The men, of course, they would follow Lucky Jack anywhere, rightfully confident of victory. But therein lies the problem. You're not accustomed to defeat. And chasing this larger, faster ship with its long guns is beginning to smack of pride.
It's not a question of pride or anything like. It's a question of duty.
Duty. Right, yes, I believe I've heard it well spoken of.
Well, you can be as satiric as you like. Viewing the world through your microscope is your prerogative. This is a ship of war, and I will grind whatever grist the mill requires in order to fulfill my duty.
Whatever the cost.
Whatever the cost.
That conversation leads you to believe that Aubrey is becoming an Ahab, but he's really only mildly obsessed. These are very rational men. The mature Dr. Maturin is a naturalist who longs to linger in the Galapagos to explore, pre-Darwin, the origin of species. And while Aubrey is a king and country authoritarian who counsels an unpopular officer against being a friend to the crew, he also cautions against being a tyrant. TV audiences will recognize these exceedingly moderate foils who argue while they saw away on a cello and a violin, from various incarnations of Star Trek, particularly The Next Generation. And the Trekkie in all of us will respond to the lickety-split exchanges of damage reports and tactics, and most of all, to the spirit of wonder on an Earth that in the 19th century must have seemed as vast and unknowable as the galaxy does today. Master and Commander is a great escape, but it lacks that extra measure of uncertainty that has crept into modern tales of war and into our present military dilemma. We grieve for the men who fall, but never doubt that this war, or any war endorsed by elites like Aubrey and Maturin, is necessary. Or, as Aubrey puns, watching maggots on a plate of food, the lesser of two weevils.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.